Hi, everybody. It's Craig Golden with Forsyth Sports 365. Thank you for joining us for another podcast regarding South Forsyth football and the War Eagle coverage here on Forsyth Sports 365. As you know, we've talked about this before. We're bringing in a new analyst for our broadcast team. We lost Mike Newsom to business propositions, but we've replaced him with who I think is an absolute ringer. We practiced it a couple times. We've talked back and forth a few times. You've heard him on the air, believe it or not, a little bit. He showed how eloquent he is, and I can't wait to get him started. We'll be with you Friday night, coming from East Forsyth, the South Forsyth travels to East for their opening scrimmage. And joining me and Doug Thomas in a broadcast booth is this guy right here, Todd Spencer. Todd, welcome to the broadcast team.
Hey, Greg, thank you so very much. I appreciate you inviting me and having me aboard this season.
We are so excited to have you on. We had a little bit of a history. We did some conversations during the halftime of a football game, which is where I got my inspiration. That's where you told me you might be interested in doing something like this.
Yeah, most definitely. That was, I think, that halftime of that North Atlanta game. When my brother Chuck, my wife Bridget, and I were up in the booth, and we were just talking about the season, my oldest son, Harrison Spencer's recruiting
journey. Harrison, who, by the way, we did the recruiting special on a couple of months ago.
Yep. And it was like hand in glove. It was a really, really good event.
So we had a chance now to hear you a couple of times. Uh-huh. We heard you at that halftime. That was right off the cuff. But you were so smooth, and that's what I remember about it, how smooth, controlled you were, how informed you seemed.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, definitely.
So then when we did the recruiting show with Harrison, you got a chance to shine a little bit there. We had you on at the beginning, and at the end you shed a few tears. Yeah. And I'm like, this guy's real, man. He's going to be perfect.
Yeah. It was those two events. I mean, it was just a warm-up doing that halftime, but then I think the recruiting show actually solidified it for me that it was possible.
So I came to you and I said, do you want to do it? And I put it to you like this. You may not want to because Gabriel, your younger son, is going to be playing. He'll be a sophomore on this year's team.
Yeah, he's a sophomore. Yep.
Do you want to sacrifice or do you want to sit right there and root for him? Or do you want to be in the booth? You know, you could be a rising star. You could be covering a volcano about to erupt here with that kid. I can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
But anyway, you took a week. You went and talked to your family. You talked to Bridget. You talked to your brother.
Yep.
And after about a week, you came back to me and you said, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of the important deal with this. I had an opportunity to kind of process it, and I thank you for your patience for dealing with that.
I was on pins and needles.
Yeah. But yeah, it was one of those things. I talked to my brothers and sisters. I talked to my wife. I talked to Gabriel most specifically. And when he gave me the okay, then it was all in.
Gabriel said, Dad, you should do it, huh?
Yep, he sure did. He sure did. So he's been behind it since day one. And so, I'm looking forward to really kind of seeing what this journey in the booth does, but then also looking at his journey as a sophomore this season on the team.
A lot of folks out there already know you. I'm sure they're super excited to hear that we've chosen you to be a part of it. But give us a little bit about your background. You played when you were a youngster?
Played high school ball. But I was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. Both my parents were teachers.
We talked about that, right, Pat? And all the aliens.
Yep. Yep, the Dayton public school system. And then my father later on went to the collegiate ranks and had an opportunity to grow up in Dayton, but actually went away to high school in Michigan. Had a chance to go to a boarding school in Michigan.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You said the M word.
Yeah, I did. I know. That's like a cuss word in our house.
By the way, Todd's an Ohio State fan, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
But it's okay. So is Doug. I can put up with them both, I'm sure.
That'll be a good thing. An ongoing issue that we'll have in the booth.
Back to school.
Yeah. So we were back going to high school in Michigan. Had a chance to play football at my high school and played tackle and defensive end. And so had a good journey in high school, but also had good experience, you know, watch my brothers and watch my dad. My dad was an excellent football player and a track man. And so, he kind of instilled the love of the game in us. And my brothers both were fantastic football players. My oldest brother, Chuck, played offensive center. And so he had to have his head on straight to play offensive center. And then my brother John played running back and defensive back. And so, you know, watching them, you know, every Friday, going to Welcome Stadium in Dayton, Ohio, rain, sleet, or snow, whatever it was, and seeing them play was really, really impactful on my journey as well.
All right, so after school, what's next? Now, you loved football.
Yeah.
And you stayed, you paid attention to it, you watched games your whole life, you studied the game
your
whole life. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's been kind of a lifelong journey, not a coaching journey or anything of that, to that level, but always stayed engaged with the game. You know, there's always that funny thing in our household. Bridget the other day had made mention, she says, man, you know, about the first part of August, I know there's that twinkle in your eye that always appears when football season is about to start. And I said, you got that right. So always a good time of year. You know, a lot of watching the games, different conferences, different things on the collegiate level, NFL fans. I actually, growing up in Southwest Ohio, naturally we're Cincinnati Bengals fans, but also root for the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to admit something to you. I'm going to admit something to you that I'm actually a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan.
Oh, well, of course. Who isn't?
Yeah.
Dan Marino, and even before that, Bob Greasy.
Yeah. Dan Marino was
Butch
my...
And Sundance Kid.
Yeah, Dan Marino was my guy. Because growing up, I remember sitting on my parents' bedroom watching on a black and white 13-inch TV, my brother John and I watching Dan Marino play in college. And I said, man, this dude is awesome. And
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, over at Pitt at that time when they called it
right.
Pitt. Yeah. But he was my guy. And when he got drafted by the Dolphins, and naturally, they go to that Super Bowl his first year there. I said, man, we're going to have Super Bowls out the yin-yang coming up for the Dolphins, but that never was to be.
Nope.
But it was always a good thing to see them play.
I'm surprised that he never was able to get a ring, you know?
Yep, got there his first
the
year. But
one quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was awesome. But been a lifelong Dolphins fan. So.
All right.
Yep.
Well, all right. Well, you got that going for you.
Yep.
What about when you begin to take on the idea of your kids playing football? Now, early on, it wasn't there, right?
No. It definitely wasn't. Harrison has played soccer his entire life. And so he was involved with soccer since he was knee-high to a curve. And I always thought it was a waste of time. The reason being is that, you know, when he would get into those soccer practices, he'd kick the ball long and just go scramble after and just run willy-nilly all over the field. And so he really didn't get a lot of clear direction until we actually moved to Georgia. When we moved to Georgia, we had a couple of folks that had made mention of his soccer skills. And I was like, how does he have soccer skills? Because we don't even own a soccer ball at home. And so at that point, a lot of folks said, you really need to get him involved with one of the local academies, United Football Academy. And so we ended up signing him up for that. And I think his first game, he ends up scoring 12 goals in his first game. And I said, I have no clue where he got that from. But his journey, what we always thought was going to be in soccer. Gabriel never played soccer, never loved organized sports. He just wanted to be like the team mascot and just hang out at the playground and just kind of run around and do things. But for Harrison's journey, we never saw football coming until he got into the eighth grade. And he naturally wanted to go ahead and try for the football team at Lakeside Middle School. And he ends up we get the blessing of his mother. And so we sat there after lots of convincing, lots of talking, allowed him to go out and play football his eighth grade year. The second day of practice, a pulling guard comes around the end. Harrison, unfortunately, is playing defensive back, comes in to try to make a tackle and breaks his wrist. And so at that point, I knew his football career was done. But he healed from it. He kept playing, had a good wrap-up to his season, and then he made the transition over to South. And his freshman year was good, sophomore year even better, junior year good, and then his senior year, he pushed all his chips in the middle and said, I think I can do this, and I want to see where football can take me. And that was the big decision point for him. to get him on this journey to football. Gable, kind of seeing where his brother was, decided to go ahead and play football at Lakeside as well.
Now, before we get there, let's talk about a little bit what his attitude was before he decided to play, because I think that's a great story. Yeah. What did he say to you?
Well, Gable's attitude before he really started to play, actually Coach Pickens over at Lakeside called me one day, and he asked me in Gable's seventh grade year, he said, does Gable really want to play football? And I said, well, I'll ask him. I don't know. And he says, there's something going on. I think you might want to have a conversation with him. So I had a conversation with him, and I said, Gable, do you really want to play ball this season? And he said, no, I really don't. And I said, do you have a reason why? Is everything okay? And he says, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody. And so as a football fan, I was actually, it brought a tear to my eye at first, because I said, man, he really wants to play hard. But then it also was disturbing, because I said, man, this guy wants to go out and hurt people. What's going on with this?
But he's got it down there. It's down deep somewhere, but he doesn't want to bring it to the surface.
Doesn't want to do that. So he ends up not playing his seventh grade year. But he does continue to lift weights with the team. He does continue to do different activities. And Coach Pickens was open to that idea. For that, I appreciate Coach Pickens for just allowing him to be still associated with the team.
Right.
The memory of that team is that they ended up going undefeated that season and not allowing a single point the entire season.
Wow. Yeah.
And so they had a really, really good squad.
Not a single point allowed.
And so Gabriel decides to play the next season, in eighth grade year. And so that team also performs well. They end up winning the county championship. So that was a back-to-back journey for Lakeside, and Gabriel got a chance to experience that. That only made it so much better for him when he transitioned over to South. So at
that
point, he was locked in.
Sophomore class is going to make up a big part of this football team this year. Huh?
That is correct.
And I saw Gabe here when you guys came in. He came with you and just wanted to say hi and reintroduce himself. And that dude looks the part.
Yeah. He has grown significantly over the past couple of years. But he is really focused, really dedicated to it. And trying to carve his space a little bit different than his older brother. You know, he's going to be playing linebacker, maybe some running back. We'll see how that goes. But he really wants to perform well. One of the stories with Gable, I'll tell another short story. The end of his first game, his freshman year, he may not want me to divulge this, but he came
late.
Yeah, it's too late. He comes off the field and he is just bawling. And I said, Gabriel, what's wrong? I said, it's your first football game here in South. They said, you did a phenomenal job. And he said, I can't get this certain reach block that he was trying to get. And he was just beat up about it. And I went over to him and I said, Gabriel, I'm just happy that you care so much about it that I know that you're going to get your work in the next practice to make that happen, right? And so that kind of tempered his mood a little bit, but he said, yeah, I'll be able to get it from now on. But it was one of those things that I saw the passion. I saw his dedication to it, what he wanted to do, and how coachable he was going to be for years to come. And so that's one of those things that was kind of a surprise for us, because he was never a team sports guy. Every time I'd ask him, hey, do you want to play baseball this season? Do you want to play football this season? Nah, I'm good. And all of a sudden, he decided he wanted to play. So that was an outstanding sort of thing for me as a football fan, to see both my sons actually become inspired enough to play football. So it's really good.
See how eloquent this guy is, man? He can just, and together, we could go on for hours.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what it's all about.
Here's what we want to do right now. We're going to, in a minute, we're going to get into this. I got the Alabama-Oklahoma game. I had it pulled up here. Let's see if we can, you know, get it close. Yeah, here it is. Let me pause that for a second. And we're just going to call this game a little bit.
Okay, yeah, that's
and
fine.
Give everybody kind of an example of how we can work together, kind of get a feel for each other a little bit and let that go. But before we get into that, I wanted you to talk a little bit about your fact that you've never done this before.
Never done this before. You know, it's always one of those situations, and I get nothing but rolled eyes sometimes and all sorts of crazy stares where we're at home sitting on the couch or watching a game, or I may be over in the kitchen watching the game from a distance, and there's a play that happens, and all of a sudden I'll make the call on the play, and then 2 seconds later, the announcer will say the same thing that I just said. And so Bridget's
that
like, oh, my God.
All the time.
Yeah. And so my in-laws actually nicknamed me Football Rain Man because it was one of those.
Because you throw the cards, man. You know the cards
exactly,
before they're
ducked. The cards before they're ducked. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you know. But it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of folks may watch football for, you know, the big plays, you know, always watching the quarterback, running back, or wide receivers. I like to watch the interior line play. Being a lineman in a defensive end, that's where my mindset is. I like to see the mechanics of the play as they unfold because, you know, it takes all 11 to make that happen. And so, you know, all the glory goes to the quarterbacks and the position, the skill players. But the folks that really make things happen are in the trenches and on the outside. And those are the guys that I like to watch a lot.
Is that beautiful?
When they're making
plays. Are you hearing this, folks? Because
yeah.
This could be a great call. We're going to get a close look at some of that inside action that makes everything happen.
Yeah.
It's going to release Kingston or to bounce into the outside,
yep.
Cut it up the sideline.
Yep, exactly. It's going to allow Will to have more time in the pocket to
we'll
go
talk
ahead and
a little
get
bit
some
about
done.
The team itself in just a minute. But let's go ahead and get to this. We've done this before in practice, but this is our first time rolling. So I'm just going to push play over here, and we'll see if these guys can. Uh-oh, I just destroyed it. What did I do? There it is. Yeah, you want to mute it or turn
there
it down?
Yeah, that works.
Oh, are we at halftime here? Oh, no, they're just showing some. I wonder why they're showing Notre Dame, but they're just looking at that. All right, here we go. This is the home team set up. Downfield, quarterback's looking. Now a jet to his left. Turns it upfield. Across the 35-yard line, almost to the 40. That's a big first down for Oklahoma.
Hey, that was a nice run by Arnold. Arnold didn't have anything downfield, so he kind of tucked and ran it up the middle of the field for about an 11-yard gain. Nice gain for him.
Bama defense trying to not get set, leave a little bit to surprise this young quarterback. Here's a snap. Quick pitch into the middle of the line. Another first down.
Yeah, nice chunk on that shovel pass. They kind of caught the Alabama DB sneaking up, not watching the ball really, but they're going with a little bit of a hurry up right now.
Yeah, they are. Back in the line of scrimmage. They're just about to midfield. Here's the snap. Going to be a throw. He faked the handoff. Now he comes underneath to the running back. That's a completed pass. There's the first down, an extra 5 yards. They're at midfield now.
Yeah, nice little dump off right there. Alabama defense was kind of sitting back playing a little bit of a zone right there, but the underneath route was wide open for Arnold to get that ball to the back.
Did you hear that, folks? The zone recognition? Is that beautiful or what? All right, now a little more time out of the huddle this time. The snap. Keeper from the quarterback. Up the middle, he's got green all the way to the 30-yard line. What a run up the field. He set his feet first.
Yep.
I think that was the key and made the defense commit.
Yeah, nice little block on that nose guard to get him out of the way. And then the up, yeah, he's
straight up. The fullback picks
up
the linebacker.
Yep.
Boom.
Yep. Nice little quick hitter up
there. That's all the way down to the 20. Big first down for the Sooners. Bama's defense kind of on their heels a little bit on this early drive. All right, he sets a team in the gun. Got a receiver in motion now. Single setback. Here's a handoff, and Bama's defense is all over this one. No gain on that play.
That interior line was all over that one. They shut that down with the quickness. They weren't going to allow anything up the middle of that play.
All right, now look, they're getting the play in. I wonder if anybody's stealing their signs right there. Here's the... Here comes the snap.
Stallions is not on the sidelines, I don't think.
I don't think he's at this game, no. All right, now this is a quick. He looks right, looks left into the backfield, but now downfield to the end zone, and great defense by the Tide. They didn't give up their coverage.
Yeah.
and that's knocked away for a harmless, loud strike.
Yeah, that receiver was bracketed by four Alabama players right there in the end zone. So, yeah, I don't think that was going to add any hope of getting completed.
That was a nice setup, though. He had his running backs go to either side. He looked, you know, right to the sideline, left to the sideline, kind of try to get that defense to split. But Bama kept that coverage down the middle, and they were on the ball. All right, officials out of the way. Single setback to the left.
Alabama's throwing a little blitz right there.
Here it comes. Quickly to the outside. Oh, and it's a double pass.
Oh, my goodness.
And an errant throw by the receiver turned quarterback.
Well, I think the number 10, that receiver right there, may have had a little popcorn at the quarter break, because that was right to him. He was wide open.
He was wide open. Yeah, the quick underhanded dish almost.
Nice lateral pass. Had all the defense up. And
the lateral pass is what I was looking for.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. That was six right there. But sometimes the pressure gets
Colby Cruz is over here on the sideline. If it had been Colby,
he would have brought that in. He would have brought that one in.
Yeah.
South Forsyth zone, right? Yeah.
All right, they're going to go for the field goal here. That kick is up, and it's no
good.
Oh,
he hooked it. Okay.
So Bama gets off with one, huh?
Yeah, that would have tied the score, but unfortunately, the kicker does what the kicker does sometimes, kind of pushed it to the left.
It's called a shank, baby. Same thing on the golf course.
Look at
hold it left. Just like that.
Say, not the fault of the holder. The laces were out, so... Yeah,
and again, we got to look at it again.
Yeah,
Bama fans have to look at it and go, oh. But don't forget, not Bama fans, Sooner fans. That was a Sooner that missed the kick. But point being, we're calling this game out loud right here. We're, I'm sorry. Oh, do we need to wrap it up?
No, we're good.
Are you telling us to get out?
No.
I should mention we're here at... Okay, keep going. Okay, great.
Yeah.
It's a live recording here we're doing tonight. We are at the Black Diamond Grill,
which is
always a great place to come and do something like this, because you can get into the fried mushrooms and a group thing. So we'll give them a mention right here. We don't have to wrap it up right now, but I think that's a good example.
Yeah.
Nice job, man.
Hey, well done.
You said some real football terms during that podcast, part of our podcast right there. That was terrific. All right, let's get this out of the way. All right, now just to talk a little bit about this year's team. I wanted to mention the quarterback battle. I got some names that we talked about right there. Of course, Will Watkins is our guy going in. He got a million snaps last year. He's coming in as a junior.
Yeah.
He did have some success at the middle school level. And I'm sure they're going to be looking at him first.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think Will, as he continues to mature into the position, you know, they're going to look to him as being one of those great leaders on the team. And, you know, one thing about Will, you know, people look at him, they may see him as, oh, he's undersized, he's this, that, and the other. But let me tell you something, he has a lot of fight, a lot of heart, because he is a fantastic player. Being able to see him in middle school and then make that transition into high school, I mean, the talent is apparent. The one thing I know for last year, especially as he's building his strengths as a quarterback, you know, we mentioned it before, we talked about it, hey, work on your three-step, your five-step drops, and get that ball out pretty quickly. Those are some of the things that, you know, he will continue to develop, and then he'll have more targets this season with the development of other receivers in the mix. So I'm looking forward to really seeing what he can do with his elusiveness as well as with his arm.
He's got a little competition out there. Dylan DeSuccio is a senior. He played some snaps last year, and he threw the ball pretty well with a little training over the summer. He might have his place for a couple of options.
Yeah, I can't remember what the depth chart will be at the quarterback position, but I know Dylan had some reps in last year, maybe a couple of different plays and things of that nature, but I know he played wide receiver as well a little bit last year.
Yeah, he did, to get on the field. He's a good athlete.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Will Stanley is a sophomore as well, under behind Will Watkins. he led his team very well in middle school, and now he's stepping up as a sophomore.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the things.
He's got some good size.
Yeah, he's got some good size, and that's going to be one of the things to kind of see as this year takes shape. That battle, you know, is there going to be some sort of rotation? Is there going to be some sort of quarterback by committee? Who knows what will happen there? But I think where it is right now, depending on what they want to do with the offense, and that's one of the things too. It's going to be a great thing to see what Coach Thompson, what Cordell Stewart bring to that offense, because the one thing that I think is going to be really positive, especially for Will and this group of quarterbacks, the best to ever do it is now your offensive coordinator. Let's see what sort of development he can have in that position, and all the quarterbacks can have exercising their feet as well as their arms. And I think we're going to catch a lot of teams off guard with that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the coaches can bring to that.
Absolutely. I want to mention Keaton Erickson, because he was also a quarterback on that middle school team.
Oh, okay.
He was a quarterback last year on the freshman squad, but this year they got him listed as a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see how that works out. But I wanted to give him a mention because he could be in the battle. You never know.
Yeah.
At running back now, everybody's talking about Kingston Arad, his return. He set the world on fire those first few games before his injury last year. And I'm looking for big things from this kid.
Yeah, you know, that first game, I mean, I think it was his first touch of the season. He took it 80 yards for a touchdown. And so the future is bright with Kingston kind of toting the rock this season. Looking forward to seeing how his recovery is going, if he's going to be okay to handle that load the entirety of the season. But I think one of the things, too, with the running back group, you want to make certain that you keep the fresh bodies in there as well. And so I think they have a lot of good depth at running back. Some of the returning seniors, some of the new sophomores that are coming in as well. I think that's going to be one of those situations where you're going to be able to have a lot more committee work to keep Kingston fresh, to keep other folks fresh, and then it's all going to be situational as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the coaching staff can do and what they might have in the mix to kind of shake that up a little bit more and not wear players out a little bit. And so I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Kingston return to 100%, but then also seeing who else they can get in the mix there.
He's got some melts. Some guys that got carries last year is Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, yeah.
Showed up towards the end of the season. He had some nice runs. Bryce Barrett is another one. He's a senior. Both of Carlos and Bryce are seniors. And then Brian Smith, the junior.
Yeah. I know one of the sophomores that is coming up, too. Well, a couple of sophomores are coming up, too.
Go ahead.
Braden Hammond is one of those that kind of impressed us when we saw him last year at that East Forsyth scrimmage. He did well in tandem with Vincent Vogt. And, you know, they were kind of the bell cows during those Lakeside years and then on that freshman team as well. And so looking forward to seeing what they can do as they make that transition to more of a prominent role within the running back room.
And before you get away from fullback, I think I only saw one fullback listed, and I'm thinking Gabe. I'm thinking Gabe Spencer come in there at fullback and clear some holes. Man, that kid is... Like I said, we saw him earlier tonight. That dude is stud, man. He's really shaping up.
Yeah, he's my grocery bills will agree with you on that. but yeah, he really does. He really has grown.
So we'll keep that open.
We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe not the first game or two, but soon, and I think forever.
You know, I think one of the things with his development as well, he carried the ball a couple times during that Lambert game last year. He had a pretty bad ankle injury, but he still carried the ball during that Lambert game, and I think in like six carries he got like 45 yards. And so I said, and he carried some folks with him. And so I said, that's going to be kind of his mindset to kind of tell folks to hitch a ride, and I'm going to carry about 10 more yards.
And you talk about kids looking the part. Here's a kid that parts the look. When you look him in the face, man, he's got a little bit of a scowl on his face when he starts talking football.
Yeah.
And you can just see he's hungry to get out there on that grass.
A little intense. Yeah, a little intense. But it's going to be good to see what his development will be.
Now, they're going to need some guys to block for him. We know that we got Whit Pearson.
Yeah,
is coming back.
Returning
from last year.
Yep.
Ben McKee is 6'5", and what, is he close to 300 yet?
You know what, I think he may be a biscuit away from 300, but I'll tell you this much. He is very, very large.
They're going to be counting on these two
left
guys.
Tackle. Yeah, I think he's going to be playing
and
left
Person,
tackle.
Is Person going to be left guard?
I'm not certain where that lineup's going to be, at least on the front line, the total front line. But I know that Ben is probably going to be secure at left tackle.
Yeah, McKee's 6'5". Yeah. Everybody else is 6 foot.
Yep. And so, we'll see where that leads. But the offensive line.
It's all about footwork and intensity, right?
Yes, most
definitely. You have to match the intensity of your opponent. That's number one.
Yep,
Number two, get your footwork right so you can be in the right position to do that.
Yep, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. So looking forward to seeing how they develop as well, because I think, one of the situations with the offensive line, just making certain that they can kind of gel together as a group, make certain that they can get a little bit more time for Will in the pocket. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the development will be with the outside receivers as well. That's one of the things that I am concerned with is, hey, who's going to step up? Who's going to make that next step on the outside? And even in the slot, you got Ollie Stark that is going to be, kind of in the mix at the wide receiver position. But,
Right, we didn't talk about those guys. There's a few of them coming back.
There's a nice group.
And a couple of good tight ends, too.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Callum McGilvery. Is going to be
Gilbert, big name last year.
So we'll look to see what they are going to do, either the wide receiver position or the tight end position. I'm not certain where they're going to actually align McGilvery, but good solid hands. Looking forward to a big season out of him too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it takes much more to show you what this is going to sound like this year on the radio, man. So nice to be able to put this together and put this out for people before we do our first podcast Friday night from East Forsyth.
Yep.
You'll be joining me and our partner Doug Thomas on that game call. And there it is, folks. This guy's ready to go. So am I. We look so much forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight, Bridget. Thanks for coming over. Carol Ray's here, too. The wives made it. They've been grading us tonight, listening to our podcast, making faces at us, trying to mess us up. We didn't bite, did we?
We didn't do it. We didn't bite.
We were straight on, weren't we? All right, folks. Have yourselves a great one. Remember, Friday night. No, wait. Hold on. Wednesday, we're recording our first Coach's Corner for the 2025 season. We'll have James Thompson and a selection of coaches of his choice. Wednesday, we'll record that Wednesday and have it up for you Thursday. And then we got the game Friday night. So here we go, War Eagles 2025. Season's about to start. It's going to be great fun. Todd Spencer, Greg Golden, Doug Thomas on the call, and we look forward to having you with us. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you all Wednesday when we record our Coach's Corner here on Forsyth Sports 365.